my first introduction to Boston Pops, I think, was about 1978 when I went to guest conduct the orchestra. And, of course, I wouldn't have dreamed ever that I would be ever chosen to do more than a concert or two now and then. But the other thing that happened was that Arthur Fiedler came to Los Angeles both years of 78 and 79, I think, to conduct at the Bowl, the Hollywood Bowl. And both cases, I remember, he became ill at the last minute. And Ernest Fleischman, who was the manager of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, rang me up actually literally one time on the Friday afternoon and said, can you come and do Arthur Fiedler's Ill? And, well, I will if I can. What's the program? He said, well, it's a Girl Crazy medley from Gershwin, and I got rhythm and whatever, you know, excerpts. And I think I went and maybe did it without a rehearsal or did it the morning of. And I always kind of laugh about it with Fleischman, because I think the reason he called me is that I wasn't a public conductor in any sense, and I was probably the only person in town that might have been available to at such a last minute to come and do it. And then went back again at 1979 to conduct either when Fiedler was ill or to just as a guest appearance. And then, as most of your listeners will know, he passed away in 79. The then manager of the BSO, Tom Morris, rang me. I was in London working, I think, on Empire Strikes Back. Said, would you like to conduct the Boston Pops Orchestra, which I thought was such a stretch of imagination on his part, and perhaps temerity on mine. But I thought about it, and Tom came over to London, and we talked about all of it, and I thought, well, conducting is not my career in the first place, and whatever would happen there, it'll be fun, it'll be instructive, and so on, and I have my career in Hollywood such as it was. And so I agreed to do it with Tom's help and with the orchestra's help to do that. And it's a fantastic experience. I mean, everybody knows about the Boston Symphony that will be listening to this program, the standard and quality and level of it. And to be invited to be a member, so to speak, of that family, certainly a great honor and privilege. And here I am still very much infatuated with the whole Boston and Tanglewood scene.
Can you give me, what were your biggest surprises your first season conducting the Boston Pops?
I don't know about surprising. I remember a fantastic list of guests. What I remember about it was the compressed schedule. We would have a different program almost every night, and we were doing TV shows once or twice a week in addition to making records in the morning. So I don't think I've ever worked quite as hard in my life in Hollywood as I ended up doing in Boston. And I guess the surprise would have been, my God, these players have been doing this for years and people work this hard all the time. that was a shock.
One of the things in looking at your first recordings with the Boston Pops came across this fact, and there was a lot of head scratching by various people, is that there was a film score session a couple days before your first Boston Pops recording session for Philips. And this film score was Close Encounters. Mm-hmm. But yet Close Encounters had been released 2 years earlier. What was going on?
Steven Spielberg, who was the director of the Close Encounters, I think it's safe to say some sort of sense of not being complete about the first film, something he wasn't able to photograph in the end of the film or edit it, or a special effect that wasn't available to him, and he was longing to do this. And 2 years later, if the film had been out and had been a great success, he was tenacious enough and cared enough to go back and fix the end of the film the way he wanted it to be. And he called me up in Boston and said, well, I fixed the end of the film, but I need about 2.5 minutes of additional music. It needs to be very specific, and we don't have it in the score, which is already 90 minutes or more of music. And, of course, I couldn't leave Boston because we had those concerts every night. So Stephen came to Boston, and I managed to write the minutes that we needed, and we booked the orchestra, and they did it brilliantly. It was a lot of fun. And I think it did a couple things. I mean, it told us that we could get a sound in Symphony Hall that would match what we had done in Hollywood, that it's really quite seamless. I mean, the technicians were able to do it. It was not a problem in any way. And secondly, that Steven Spielberg, I think, fell in love with the orchestra and the hall to the extent that when 10 years or so later we had to record the score of Schindler's List on the East Coast, Steven said, well, we'll just do it in Boston. Wouldn't that be great? We'll fly Itzhak Perlman up there, and I'll come from Hollywood with all of my technicians, and we'll do the score. So we did Schindler's List there, and then a few years later, Saving Private Ryan there. I think two of Spielberg's most effective and powerful films.
And some of your best film music, I might add.
Well, thank you. And it worked beautifully. We set up projection in the hall, in Symphony Hall, so that we could see the film, and that I could conduct to the film, follow it in the way that you would in a theater. And everyone was very comfortable. And we all of us at the studio kind of remember that experience with great fondness. And it was also interesting, when we took the tracks, the musical recordings, from Boston to Los Angeles to be mixed into the picture, in both cases of Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, I remember the sound technician saying as we were mixing, that's the most beautiful bass. You know how technicians are all sort of they're nerds about sound and all those things.
Right.
We've never heard from this studio a bass quality. Like, where did you get these recordings? He said, well, it's the Boston Symphony and Symphony Hall. They could feel that rich bottom, which we really couldn't reproduce. I mean, you can electronically equalize for these things, but there's something about Mother Nature, you know, getting all the wood worked up and the aging in the hall and the instruments and so on. So Close Encounters was a kind of a seed for what we did later with Schindler and Private Ryan.
But to close a mystery, for me at least, there is a couple of minutes towards the end of Close Encounters which is actually played by the Boston Pops,
mm-hmm.
and not identified as
correct,
such.
Correct, correct.
The very closing sequence of the film?
Mm-hmm, that's right. I don't remember exactly where it is, but it's the area when the mothership is lifting off down toward the end of the film, and I think it includes some of your listeners will know this better than I do, but I think it includes some added line, a line or two of dialogue that the earlier piece didn't have. They will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think so.
I'll have to get the DVD
and compare them.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.